Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I say immigration.
Shot. No shot. With Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I say immigration.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome in to the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000. Streaming on the ESPN Chicago app, I'm Jonathan Hood. Cap is off today. Phone lines are always open for you. 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is our phone number. Good morning to you guys on Twitch. Twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. And we have Shot or No Shot at this time every day. And it's brought to you by
the fine people at Club Hawthorne. Put a little more action into your weekend at one of Hawthorne's 16 newly remodeled betting bars. Or bet the races from home or on the go with the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app.
All right, let's go with Shot or No Shot, guys, because we've always got choices, and so let's roll with them. What do we have for Shot or No Shot?
Good morning, Hoodie. What's going on?
JR, morning.
Happy to be here. How late were you up watching? Did you watch the whole All-Star game?
I watched parts of the All-Star game. I watched the first couple of innings and then watched the back half because Peacock and I are into this new show, The Old Man. No, it's not about you. It's The Old Man. The Old Man, it's on FX, because it's Jeff Bridges and John Lithgow. How can you go wrong with those two? It's a mystery show, dark, but it's very interesting. So we just got into it, and so I think we're in episode 4. So we watched a couple episodes, then I picked up the rest of the All-Star game. But that's a show I think should be on your list.
Sold. I'm in. Yeah, mystery. I like that. Shot or no shot, guys? Former Bear... Mitchell Trubisky is getting heavy praise from Steelers defensive tackle Cam Hayward. Mm-hmm. Here he is from his podcast.
I think it starts with Mitch. Mitch, we brought him in free agency. And I think the thing that we have to remember about Mitch is he's coming from a situation where in Chicago, they didn't really give him anything. and he still made it to the playoffs. I think he made it to the playoffs twice. And, you know, everybody likes to say Mitch did this wrong. Mitch did that wrong. Man, Mitch does a lot of things right. And hopefully I think we have a better team around him. And we're going to support him. Right now he's the, you know, our number one. But we don't know what it's going to be by the time the season kicks off. There's a lot of football that's got to take place. Like all we were doing in OTAs is running around in shorts. Like, I'm ready to put on some pads and, like, see how these guys deal with pressure in their face. O-lineman is literally, you know, folded up in front of them. DBs are really able to press. These are all different things that have to come into play. We know we're going to have a good running game with Najee. And so the load is not just going to be on what our quarterback can do. It's what you can do to manage. And, you know, you've got some really good pieces. You've got Deontay Johnson, you've got Claypool, you've got George Pickens, Calvin Austin, you got Pat Freiermuth, all these different pieces, and a Najee Harris, you're in a really good situation, and you got a pretty good defense. So you don't have to go out there and win us the game. We feel like we got enough pieces around you that you can come along, and you're going to be a good player. So Mitch, Mason, Kenny, they're coming in a really good situation.
The ever in demand J.R. Strauss had to run upstairs in the middle of that. So I'm taking over, Hoodie. And I take issue with something Cam Hayward said about, you know, the Bears didn't give him anything.
What do you mean?
I don't know.
He didn't want to talk about Mitch anymore? What do you mean?
Does? He had the bolt upstairs. So I'll take over from here.
Does he have the green apple quick steps? Does he have a problem back there? Diarrhea?
There must be something going on. All I know is he said, I got to go. I got something to do.
So I have diarrhea. Yeah,
shot or no shot, JR had a little emergency downstairs.
Had a little poo-poo because of too much coffee. So there's that. And so what's up?
All right. So let's get into what Cam Hayward had to say. Shot or no shot. The Chicago Bears put nothing around Mitch Trubisky.
No, that's a no shot. No, they put something around Mitch Trubisky, but it's interesting to hear Hayward's perspective because there's two things at work, if you listen very closely, right? So the first thing is that, Mitch didn't have anything around him in Chicago, and that he did some things right. The other thing is, he wasn't even sure if Mitch is going to be the starter, if you notice very close, because we've got Mason and Kenny, and he's talking about the draft pick Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph, who's already been there. I find it fascinating that he's going back and forth on that. It's like, well, he's supporting Mitch, but also letting you know that there's two viable backups, just in case Mitch falters like he did in Chicago. One thing that Cam does not know is that Mitch had a hard time reading defenses. One of the reasons why he was pulled in the Atlanta game by Nagy, because he had a hard time reading defenses, and that's why Nick Foles had to come in to the mix and try to help this Bears team out. So, no, the idea that the Bears had nothing around Mitch is not true. Did you have anything around him with the coaching staff? That's a whole different story, right? I mean, it was Mitch and Nagy both learning on the job at the same time, and Nagy failed. I can make the argument that Nagy failed Trubisky, but at the same time, Mitch didn't read defense as well. And it's almost like, to me, the way I looked at it, Shay, was like this. So you have this voluminous playbook for all these guys. I've seen these playbooks. They're enormous.
Dude, they're thick binders, like 500-page binders full of plays.
And I think that at some point that you saw Trubisky with this binder, right? Big binder. And they saw how you played, and Nagy was like, okay, learn this much of the playbook. Then he realized that, man, he's having a hard time with this. So, okay, why don't you do this much of the playbook? And they were like, okay. Then all of a sudden his playbook was on a napkin. Seriously, because he had a hard time reading defenses. And so the idea that Trubisky didn't have anything around him is not true. So that's a no shot.
Yeah, I agree. I agree it's a no shot, but during this conversation, I had an impromptu shot or no shot come up in my brain.
Go ahead.
Because we were discussing, you know, the Steelers having multiple backups. Shot or no shot, by week four, Kenny Pickett will be the starter in Pittsburgh.
That's a no shot. That's a no shot. I think they're going to give Mitch every opportunity to succeed with this team, with this offense. And so I don't think they're going to unplug it that quickly. As a matter of fact, I can also make the argument that this is going to be friendly enough for Trubisky to succeed. You know, you saw Roethlisberger at the end run the football, utilize a tight end position. That's simple enough for Trubisky. They just don't want him to break it. I think he's got plenty of options here where he can look at the team and say, okay, connect to the tight end, run the football, you know, some passes to Claypool at wide receiver, and then it should be fine. But, no, I think that's a no shot. Trubisky will have the job. If you give me the over-under of six games, I'll take the over. Shay.
All right, we have a finalized route for NASCAR, their street race in Chicago. The course will run through Grant Park with Pitt Road going along Columbus and turn one being a left off of Columbus onto Balbo. The course will take Lakeshore Drive to Roosevelt, west to Michigan Ave, then north to Jackson, back to Columbus. So just a big kind of rectangle with a couple turns thrown in around Grant Park. NASCAR's senior VP of racing strategy, Ben Kennedy, said the cars will top out at 125 miles per hour and that their slowest will be, quote, about as fast as cars in Grant Park right now. So zero. Lori Lightfoot, the mayor, spoke as well. She had this to say.
We put on big events in our downtown and particularly around Grant Park on a regular basis all throughout our spring, summer, and fall. So we know how to do this. We'll be working hand in glove with NASCAR to make sure that the experience is safe, but also incredibly enjoyable for the fans. And if you know anything about the city of Chicago, you probably know our tremendous lakefront and icons like Grant Park and Buckingham Fountain. So I'm looking forward to showcasing our fantastic city on a global stage. And we're going to do everything we can to make sure that this race is a love letter to the city of Chicago.
Shot or no shot, this race is a love letter to the city of Chicago.
I don't know. That's just kind of a weird phrase, right? A NASCAR race is a love letter to Chicago. Nothing else. You know, just a lot. This NASCAR,
the thing that stopped being in Chicago 20 years ago.
Yes, is a love letter.
We're bringing it
to the
back,
city.
And it's a love letter.
I don't understand that phrasing. I don't know who wrote that for her, but I would say that's a no shot. If you're saying that, hey, here's a major event, and here's the thing I need to know, and this is where we need like a Danny Ecker to jump in on this from Crane's business. Like, how much of this is an economic impact for the city? Is this bringing money? I have no idea if it is or not, and how much of a windfall of cash will be there for this race. I'm not sure if it's any of significance. Maybe it is. I don't know.
I want to be respectful in how I say this, but think about the primary demographic for NASCAR, the fandom. Do we think that that fandom, that demographic, is going to pour into the city of Chicago for this street race?
I don't know. I don't know, and I don't know where do they. Where, I don't even know what this is going to look like. From a fan standpoint, if it's a race, are there stands set up for them?
Yeah, and they said that they're going to close down the route for an indeterminate amount of time before, during, and after the race. Obviously, it'll be closed during, but I imagine that's going to be like a month where they're going to have to put up barricades, put up safety measures, put up stands for fans, put up all these things along Michigan Avenue and Lakeshore Drive and Roosevelt.
I guess I would imagine because it's the first time we've ever seen it, people will come to see it. Yes, I believe so. People, just from the interest, people will be wondering what it looks like and want to be a part of it. So I say shot to that part of it. Shay.
All right, Woody. Nick Saban spoke yesterday on the future of college football with mega conferences on the horizon.
I think that, you know, mega conferences may be something that, you know, we all have to deal with in the future. I think, you know, probably, you know, money probably drives a lot of this. I can't blame people for that. It's sort of above my pay grade, though, to know, you know, what we should do as a league in the SEC or what any other league should do. But I think as we progress forward, the mega conference, you know, will create, you know, a little more of a caste system maybe in college football. And I think everybody's got to decide if that's the direction we really want to go or not.
Well, I think your opinion is as important as any. Is that a good change or a bad change in the long run and the big picture for a sport that you've basically dedicated your whole life to?
Well, I think probably for the haves, which obviously at Alabama we're one of the haves, it's probably a good thing. For some of the have-nots, some of the, you know, sort of, I don't want to know what you would say, second half of each league, you know, maybe it won't work out as well. Maybe there's some system like, you know, the pro soccer league in Europe, where you can, you know, play your way into it. I don't know how it all works out. I know that one thing that we've always tried to do is keep competitive balance in college athletics. And I think this could affect that, you know, significantly for, you know, some people in college football.
I think the interesting part of what Saban said there is that mega conferences will create a caste system in college football. Shot or no shot? College football's caste system already arrived with the college football playoff, and Saban has been the biggest benefactor of it.
Oh, that's a shot. There's no question about that. I don't know why he used that phrase for that, because it's already been apparent. The college football playoff and everything else that's been going on, say, over the last 10 years, he's been a benefactor from it. He's been able to benefit from that. So I'm not sure why he said that, but here's my overall thought. After thinking about this summer, Shay, here's what I think. I think that when it comes to college football and they saying, well, you know, we're going to get two mega conferences, it will look more like the NFL, I'm sure. When you have the biggest of the Big Ten and the biggest of the SEC all coming together, it's going to work itself out. We may not like it initially because we're college football traditionalists. I know that you are, and I know I am as well. But change, as I said earlier, change is always going to happen when there's money involved. And because of the television from Fox and from ESPN, they want to have the best of the best games. So if you feel like, well, you know, some of this non-conference stuff or some of these games in the schedule are not very good, well, now that's going to change. Because now you're going to get the best of the best. Now you will have an NFL-like feel to college football.
Yeah, it's
going to
be AFC and NFC, except it'll be the SEC and the Big Ten. By the way, people keep asking, what's the Big Ten going to be called when it's got 20 teams? It's going to be called the Big Ten.
Yes.
Because they're going to pull the wool over your eyes and make you think it's all about tradition and college football and old school college football and all this, when it's really just about money now, which is fine. That's the bed that they want to lie in. I get it. I'm going to enjoy whatever version of college football we end up with.
Yeah.
I just have a hard time believing it'll look anything like what we have right now.
You'll have better scheduled games for sure. And let me just tell you this, as we get ready to talk about Rob Manfred in just a moment, let me just tell you this. You see how college football is progressing, Shay? You see how that is? They're looking at it and saying, oh, you know, and I know there's certain regions of the South and the Mid-Atlantic area and also out west with the USC and UCLA that look at tradition. What about the tradition of college football? You know, Texas, and Oklahoma and the Big 12. What about the tradition? The tradition's been gone for a long time. And what you call what's happening in college football is progress, something that Major League Baseball can learn from. Baseball's still holding on to the old rules. Yeah, they got extra playoffs, sure, and they've got the ghost runner in a 10th inning, all that. But ultimately, they still hold on to tradition. And college football is not. It has not been that. Because if college football held on to its roots, you know what it would be? Baseball. Coming up next, Rob Manfred, the commissioner of Major League Baseball, on minor leagues and the future of baseball. You won't believe the living wage for minor leaguers and then what Rob Manfred had to say about it. All part of this program here we call Cap and J Hood Mornings, 7 to 10.
Listening to Cap and J Hood at home is easier than setting your coffee maker.
This picture of domestic happiness is missing something.
Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
What a way to start the day.
Cap and J Hood.
On Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
We talked to Connor McKnight from the White Sox radio network coming up at 8:35. Get his thoughts about the White Sox and everything else, Major League Baseball, the All-Star Game, all part of it coming up at 8:35 with our guy Connor McKnight right here on Cap and Jay Hood. I'm Jay Hood. Cap is off today. Glad you're in with me here on this Wednesday morning, saying good morning to you guys on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Thanks so much for keeping the conversation going. Don't forget that ESPN Chicago app. That's where you can get Chauncey's Great Outdoors. If you are a fan of fishing and hunting, he can be able to help you out. Chauncey's Great Outdoors. If you never catch the show Saturday mornings, you can catch it on the ESPN Chicago app. All of his shows are archived there if you want to know the hottest fishing holes. Rob Manfred, Commissioner of Baseball. So out of all the commissioners that are around, I mean, Rob Manfred is right up there as far as someone who's very tone deaf. And so I want you to hear this. If you have not read this or if you've not seen this, I want you to hear this in a loud, clear voice about Rob Manfred. As I mentioned, I thought baseball did a really good job on Sunday with the draft. I think that the All-Star festivities have been terrific in Los Angeles. First time that the All-Star game has been in L.A. since 1980. So it's really cool. But Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred pushed back on the idea that minor league players aren't paid a minimum wage during a Tuesday news conference ahead of the All-Star game in Los Angeles. One reporter asked Manfred if team owners can't afford to pay minor leaguers a living wage or simply prefer not to. And Manfred had an issue with the framing of the question. And Manfred said, "I kind of reject the premise of the question that minor league players are not paid a living wage. I think that we've made real strides in the last few years in terms of what not only players are paid, even putting to one side the signing bonuses that many of them have already received. They received a housing, which obviously is another form of compensation. So I just, you know, I just reject the premise of the question. I don't know what else to say." Oh, when you get someone that says, "I don't know what else to say," you got them in a box. That's for sure. So, you're the commissioner. You could talk about minor league players all day if you wanted to, right? I mean, that's supposed to be the lifeblood of Major League Baseball. It's one thing to have the big leaguers, but also the next generation should be in AA or AAA trying to get the dream of being major leaguers. Well, MLB settled a class action lawsuit in May with minor leaguers who sued for back pay for the sum of $185 million. Now, do you know how much minor leaguers make? Okay, so prior to the 2021 season, the league raised the minimum weekly salary at rookie and short season levels from $290 to $400. At Class A, from $290 to $500. At Double A, from $300 to $600. And at Triple A, from $502 to $700. Now again, this is a weekly salary we're talking about. Teams started providing in-season housing for minor leaguers in 2022. So when you hear Rob Manfred saying that, "I kind of reject the premise of the question wondering whether or not minor leaguers are not paid a living wage," I just laid out for you. And a lot of the players that's going to get to the next level go to Double A, $350 to $600 a week for their weekly salary. Now, JR, let's go back to the calculator from earlier today. So I mentioned 350 to 600. They don't play a full season of minor leaguers like from April to the end of September. They end, I believe, in August. Do I have that right?
Yeah, I think that's right. There's all the call-ups in late September because they don't pull guys off of rosters. That would decimate teams. So I think that's right. Late August, early September, they're over. It's like a summer job, right?
And yes, which was the case in the 60s.
I think 20 weeks is probably the safe estimate.
Okay, can we get the calculator out? I have a number, but I want to make sure it's accurate. Say, for instance, we're going with double A, 350 to 600. So what's the ballpark you want to give as far as the number?
We'll say 600 is the minimum. So we'll say 600 and we'll say 20 weeks. It's $12,000 a year.
I kind of reject the premise of the question that minor leaguers are not paid a living wage.
$12,000 a year. I don't think you could live in Sioux Falls for $12,000 a year.
Why would Manfred say that on the record? I mean, seriously.
Yeah, $12,000.
All right, put your calculator away, for God's sake.
And that, by the way, is raised double what it used to be 2 years ago.
And you'd run out of paper, by the way. You need to put more paper in there. There you go. Oh, for God's sake. Listen to how slow he's typing that thing. Jay.
All right, we're good.
He's using an abacus back there.
Think about what Manfred just said, though, Shay. I mean, again, feel-good moment, all-star weekend, and it's a topic. There's no doubt it's a topic. Could you imagine $12,000 you gave me, right? That's on the high end for $600 a week? And through 20 weeks, you said, right? Around the ballpark, 20 weeks. Okay, so these minor leaguers have to get another job in the offseason just to be able to make ends meet. In this economy, think about that. Major League Baseball could do better than that. From TV deals to how much money of hand over fist these organizations, each team makes, you could do better than that.
By the way, this is a guy, Rob Manfred, who makes $17.5 million a year to ostensibly wear a suit, get rolled out to a podium, not answer the questions that he's being asked, and then peddle whatever garbage about the future of baseball with 32 teams and a pitch clock and an automatic strike zone and how everything is so great about the future of baseball. They're fixing pace of play, doing all of these things. But minor league players have to lobby and sue to try to get $35,000 a year.
So if you feel like you're struggling out there trying to be able to make ends meet going paycheck to paycheck, minor leaguers who's trying to catch the dream of being a major leaguer have to be able to get maybe one or two part-time jobs, maybe in season, by the way, just to make ends meet.
How many of those guys are praying for the LIV baseball tour?
Exactly.
Right? Could you imagine? It would be life-changing.
So those in Saudi, you are missing out. Another opportunity for more revenue streams. I can just see them in the meeting now in Jeddah, sitting there at the table and like having a conference, JR, sitting there saying, you know what we're missing out on? The golf, pretty good. But you know what? Baseball. You see what these guys are making? What if we made all those guys millionaires?
Or you just triple their salary. You're still paying them $50,000 a piece.
God almighty. A three-year study in the working conditions of minor league baseball players found that a $35,000 minimum salary would bring players above the federal poverty line and put them in line with living wage standards. $35,000. Baseball, man. And then on top of that, we have seen this. I saw this last year in The Athletic. The whole housing situation where there's three or four or five players all into one room sleeping on a couch or sleeping on two or three mattresses. Come on, man. It's amazing.
Sutcliffe talked about that with Waddle and Sylvie, how there were seven guys in a house and they literally just threw mattresses on the floor.
Yeah. From the Black and Abdallah Show, here's Mo. Hello, Mo.
Oh. Hey, guys. Good morning. How are you?
Well, thank you. We've got Connor McKnight right around the corner, but what's on your mind, Mo?
All right. I'll be quick because I love Connor. He's awesome. Mm-hmm. You know what? Dude, I'll tell you something. I actually enjoyed the All-Star game last night. And, you know, we were all hating on it. We're adults. We don't watch it. It's for the kids. I kind of liked it because I like the way that they have the like the camera angles. Like we had the umpire wearing the camera, got hit in the face. It was perfect. I loved it.
Yes.
You know, the mics getting the mics on the players. I thought that was good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jose Trevino and Manoa. I like those guys. They were really good.
Yes, Manoa. Yes.
Manoa, he was funny, and I liked him. He went through it. He's pitching. He's telling us what he's going to throw. That was awesome. I was like, wow. And then they had the Rise Up song. I thought that was good.
Yeah.
You know, and that was pretty much it. They did a good job with it last night. And you know what? There's nothing on tonight, right? No baseball, no basketball, no football, no nothing tonight.
Yeah, so
I guess I'm going to catch up on my streaming channel and watch Stranger Things some more.
Yeah, well, what about old episodes of Bleck and Abdallah? How about listening to that? That's some of the best of.
I don't like to listen to myself on the radio. I sound like a stupid.
Well, not your best of, their best of. Aren't the guys are on tonight, aren't they? Aren't they on tonight?
They should be.
Yeah, you can listen.
Yes.
Or catch
they
up.
They better be, because, I mean, what happened? What happened at Black? He started the morning, he can't do the night. I said he was the hardest worker ever. I thought he was going to be at the night, too.
He is one of the hardest workers ever. You know, he and Abdallah spent the most time here at the station.
Of course.
And then they're
of
in course. Cages, as you said yesterday. You can find them in cages.
Yes. I just retweeted that. But anyways, the thing about Mitch, you know what?
Yeah.
No shot. I'm going to tell you something. He's going to probably do really good at Pittsburgh because he had no coaching. Okay, he has talent. Right? Drafted number 2. He has talent. But the coaching wasn't there. They didn't put him out. They didn't. I watched the Bears all the time. Mitch Trubisky did not go outside the pocket and run and then throw. That's his specialty. They never let him do that. Why? I don't know.
He's not the coach. He would ask about that. That is for sure. He would ask, how come I don't have an opportunity? Or he would suggest lightly that he should roll out in the pocket so he can be able to see down the field better. But, you know, Nagy had him chained in the pocket. It was coaching, but also it was him too. I don't like the hot take of just saying that Trubisky sucked and Nagy was just, you know, just the coach and trying to make him do that. It was all, I think both had some major issues with this. Nagy with the coaching and also trying to harness Mitch to do what he wanted him to do, and then Mitch had a hard time reading defenses. I think all of it was just a disaster. All right, coming up, we hear from Connor McKnight, a man who covers baseball, and of course the White Sox and the White Sox Radio Network. We will talk to him coming up next. You're listening to Cap and Jay Hood.
It's Cap and Jay Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports. Follow the show on Twitter at Cap Jay Hood. This is ESPN 1000.
Jay Hood on the Cap'n Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000, streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Still to come in an hour from now, will you talk to Alex Brown and get his thoughts about the Bears? You know, training camp's going to open right around the corner, so we'll talk to Alex Brown about his thoughts about the Bears and more as we move forward here on a Wednesday morning. We go to Connor McKnight now, who covers the White Sox for the ESPN Chicago Hard Rock Casino, White Sox Network. Of course, for every White Sox game you hear right here on ESPN 1000, and loves baseball. That's why it's going to be a great conversation with Connor McKnight. He joins me here on ESPN 1000 with Cap Off. I'm Jay Hood. Hello, Connor.
Hoodie, good morning. How are you?
You know how I'm doing. We were, as a baseball romantic like you and I, you know that I had a wonderful night.
Oh, for sure. You watch the All-Star game, you tune in, you see everything from Denzel all the way up to Julio Rodriguez and Liam Hendricks. I mean, that was a good night last night. I stayed up, watched I can't say the entire thing, but I'm going to go ahead and say 8 nights.
All right. Well, tell me this. What does an All-Star game or All-Star festivities do for the sport?
I hope that it puts a bunch of – you know, it's funny. I had a conversation with a friend of mine while I was on vacation. I stayed in Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. And this guy's a big sports fan, but he's not a big baseball fan. And he looks at me and he asks the same question that we ask every guest when we have them on the show, what does baseball need to do to bring me, a fan that doesn't like baseball, into the game? And I thought, well, last night ought to do a lot of things to get baseball fans toward the game. Whether it does enough, I don't know. But what an All-Star game should do is put a bunch of highlights, a bunch of personality behind things, and show fans things that they don't often get a chance to see. I thought miking up Alek Manoah while he was pitching was great. I thought it was fantastic. I thought it was a ton of fun to watch. I thought the broadcast itself was fairly understated and letting the moments speak for themselves. I liked Joe Davis and John Smoltz working together. Mm-hmm. The first time, you know, doing what I do, it's the first time I've gotten a chance to really sit down and kind of absorb the two of them doing their work. Enjoyed that. Think that's going to be a treat for the World Series. And I liked that the production of itself allowed for those moments that we don't get to see during a regular season 9-inning ball game get to kind of rise to the top. I don't know that it was, you know, 3-2 ball game with a couple of homers is very indicative of this generation of baseball, but that's fine too. That's what you're going to get.
Connor, who was the biggest star that we saw yesterday? If I said Ohtani, Mookie Betts, or the field, who was the biggest star that we saw on the field yesterday?
I think you'd have to define, and this is, it's not a great thing for baseball, Hoodie, you know that, but I think you'd have to define we there. Who's the we? Is we the L.A. watching fans? Because then it's Mookie Betts. Is the we local baseball fan X who's got a team? Because then it's probably Shohei Ohtani. But going back to this conversation that I had with a friend who, you know, has fallen out of love with baseball, enjoyed it as a kid, but, you know, finds other sports a lot more interesting now, he didn't know who Shohei Ohtani was. You know, and I think that's really a big piece of what this game needs to change. Shohei Ohtani is the most amazing thing to happen to baseball in a long, long time. And what he's doing right now is unfathomable and unprecedented. You know, all this stuff about, he beat this record set by Babe Ruth back in the 19-whatevers. It doesn't matter. Babe wasn't doing anything like this. Mm-hmm. Anything. Nothing. I mean, that's the guy. That's the star. That is the guy of guys right now.
In our first hour, we did a topic about, you know, playing off the All-Star game from last night. We did a topic of who is the All-Star of Chicago sports for 2022. And as you well know, being around here, there are three rebuilds that I can name, you know, with the Cubs and the Bears and the Blackhawks going through rebuilds. It's I think that the city is bereft of what I would consider superstars. So I threw out there that Tim Anderson is the biggest star that we have in Chicago sports. And I said, I asked people to beat it, and they could not beat the Tim Anderson. Would you say that Tim is the biggest in that spot?
You know, I think you'd have to. I think you'd have to also say that with the caveat of all Justin Fields needs to do is, you know, X, right? I mean, yeah. It's the quarterback of the Bears, regardless of who he is, where he came from, he's that guy. And I think in a lot of cities, that's the case with your NFL quarterback. All you've got to be is decent, and you're probably eclipse that star power of a lot of other places, like unless you're in the city LeBron happens to be in, right?
Yeah.
But I think Tim Anderson's a pretty good answer there. I think there's a couple of guys, though, that, you know, behind the Justin Fields odds are probably poised to take that next step. Like, Luis Robert is a guy that can do that, right? Mm-hmm. I think Zach LaVine is a guy that can do that and rise to that next level. It all comes with a little bit of winning. Yeah, I don't know that there's a Cub on that list right now, and that's okay. That's just not where they're at in their cycle. But I think Tim Anderson is that guy.
Yeah, I had Tim, and, you know, some gave me Zach LaVine, but I said, you know, he just signed a new deal. I just said that Tim, to me, is the guy that comes up with the phrase, change the game. It is important for the sport to continue to grow its African-American fan base as well as on the field. When you're under 7%, that's a problem. You want to get everybody under the tent. Tim is one of the faces of that, and I think that that does matter for the growth of the sport.
I think that's absolutely true, Hoodie. I'm sure you knew this. I don't know that everybody talked about this. I didn't catch Joe or John mention this in the broadcast last night. That's not to say they didn't. It is to say that I didn't have the volume on the entire time. Tim Anderson is the second African American player to start at shortstop in the American League All-Star Game.
Wow.
It's Derek Jeter and it's Tim Anderson. I was unaware of that up until the point where Tim was named the starting shortstop for the American League, and then that fact came out, and I was stunned by it. Yes, that absolutely, absolutely matters. And quite frankly, I think we as a, I'll put this on us as baseball broadcasters, we need to be doing a better job of making that game, making fans of this game more aware of that fact and bringing this game to people that that want it, making it more accessible,
Yeah. Connor, last thing, and I appreciate your time. I just want to get your thoughts on the second half of the season for the White Sox. How much momentum can the White Sox have from the way they ended the first half to the second that could resonate?
Well, if momentum is the next day's starting pitcher, then you gather a whole lot of momentum if you put Dylan Cease on the bump against the Guardians on Friday. Because that man should have been in L.A. as an all-star, or should have had the distinction of being named an all-star and said, thanks but no thanks, I'm pitching Sunday. I'm going to go ahead and wipe out the Minnesota Twins, get my team one game closer to the AL Central lead, back to 500 for the first time in back-to-back seasons at the break in a long time for this franchise. Dylan Cease is that guy. Now, on the other hand, there are a couple of things that the White Sox need to kind of announce as resolved here over the next few days, right? We need to find out how Luis Robert is doing. Mm-hmm. We need to find out how Eloy Jimenez is doing. Michael Kopech is over his professional innings pitched, career best innings pitched, and has he's looked different since the knee. He has managed a lot of those starts. If you wanted to, with the weird schedule the White Sox have, with these four games, 3 days against the Guardians, then a day off, and two against the Rockies, then a day off again, all after the All-Star break, you could get Michael Kopech a nice long, long rest if you wanted to. I think all those things are what's being solved, or probably has already been solved over at 35th and Shield, the announcement yet to be made. That to say, they're pitching really well, and only one team scored more runs in the month of July than the Chicago White Sox, and that's the New York Yankees. And they seem to be playing a completely different sport this year. So I think momentum is there to be seized. You just, like we've talked about for a while, you don't know you've turned a corner until you're, 10 games from having turned that corner. Mm-hmm. They got to make it happen.
Well, have fun at Caps at Lake House. I know that you're having a fun time up there. I can hear the wind blowing into the phone. So hope to have you having a good time there.
Absolutely. Played a rousing game of duck, duck, goose just then. I don't know why. Caps been wanting to play this all weekend. So is it weird? Yes, of course it is. Are we indulging him like a child at a birthday party? Yes, of course we are. But here we sit, and I got to go. He's calling duck, duck again. I got to go, Hoodie. I love you.
All right, Connor. There he is. There is Cap. Duck, duck. Oh, God!
I just picture him at the end of Chuck's raft. Like, there's not enough room, like Titanic,
That's the best. He's calling Duck Duck again. I've got to go. The dismount was fantastic. Coming up next, we've got the ultimate question for you when it comes to Mega Millions. We'll tell you about that coming up next. It's Jay Hood on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show. Oh, God.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
Hello. This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Twitter at Cap Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Jay Hood on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show. Here on ESPN 1000, streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. That same ESPN Chicago app where you can catch Good Karma Wrestling if you're a wrestling fan and know of one. Make sure they check out Good Karma Wrestling. The show drops a new episode every Thursday at 6 o'clock. You can watch it at ESPN 1000 on Twitter. We'll be on tomorrow with Gabe and Brian and yours truly, talking about everything in pro wrestling, WWE, AEW, and everything else, and including Ric Flair's last match. Oh, man. He's 73. He's having his last match, JR. And we'll be talking about that with Good Karma Wrestling every Thursday at 6.
Still going?
Yeah, well.
That's amazing.
Yeah, his last match, quote unquote.
Yes, the retirement tour.
So we will talk about that again Thursdays. A new episode drops on Good Karma Wrestling on the ESPN Chicago app. Okay. Mega Millions. You know the story and the question that always comes up when it comes to the lottery is if you hit the lottery, if you win the lottery, do you go back to work the next day? The answer to the question for me is yes. I love being able to.
That is a fine.
Yep. Clearing it out. That's a solo clearance there.
All right.
See, I never get fined on that because I don't talk on the show. So I don't never have to clear out the show. I'm just kidding. I just want to get your reaction. I did that to pop you. But the question always is, do you come to work the next day? And for me, yes. Yes. If I win the lottery and hit this $630 million for Mega Millions, you will catch me with Cap the next day. I'm not leaving. I'm getting out of here. I have a contract. So I'm not leaving. I want to work with Shay and JR. Sure. Of course I want to stay on the show.
I like that you have a contract is the reason that you're coming in. Yes. You know, the contract is pretty worthless compared to what you just won here. I mean, that's not the reason you're coming in. You're coming in because you love to talk about sports.
And I have a commitment, though. I have a commitment to you, too.
That's personal drive, yes. I think, is what that is. That's what that is. That has nothing to do with us.
I have a commitment to you,
too. It has absolutely nothing to do with us.
And it is for me. Who do you think is sitting here, Cap? I said me.
You would come in if we weren't here.
Cap would still come in, too, I think. What else would he do? Talk to his walls?
He's doing that now.
Yeah, but you love this job so much that there's no question that you would be in here, even if Shay and I weren't here. Let's say Shay and I got the winning ticket, and we were kind enough to donate some to you. That would be something. You'd still be here, and we took off. You'd be here every day.
Shay's gone, though.
Oh, yeah, Shay's long gone.
He's gone.
Long gone.
He wins the Mega Millions. You wouldn't see him again. He's buying all of Flint. You're going to flip it. of course.
What are you? I'm going to fix the water?
Yes.
I'm going to go up to Flint. I'm going to flip Flint.
Yes, you're going to flip it. That's right, because of nothing else, value.
Yeah, I would be here because I wake up in the dark normally anyway, so I have somewhere to go. I would definitely be here.
But Shay asked a question that we're going to put as a poll question at ESPN 1000. All right, Shay. So $630 million for the Mega Millions jackpot. But what's the question?
So the Mega Millions jackpot is something that you simply have zero chance of winning. It's one of those things that you're going to buy the ticket, you're going to fantasize about it, you're going to have fun with your friends, you're going to have a lot of conversations. But at the end of the day, you are not going to win the Mega Millions. It's not going to happen to you. That's the cold, harsh reality of the world you have to live in. My question is, if I drop $1,000 in your lap, you can spend $1,000, but you can only do one of two things with it. You can either buy $1,000 worth of Mega Millions tickets, or you can bet on any of the Bears, Blackhawks, or Cubs to win a title in the next 5 years. Which of those two things are you doing?
So you just wouldn't give me the Sox, huh? When give me the Sox.
No Sox, no Bulls. You get the Bears, the Blackhawks, and the Cubs in the next 5 years to win a title, or $1,000 worth of Mega Millions tickets.
Well, again, the question is, okay, I'm all in on the Mega Millions, but where do I get the tickets? Because if it's Southside, I'm never going to win. If it's most parts of the city, when you say that, JR, north, up north, Wrigleyville, At some convenience store, probably not winning, right?
My strategy is to find the most unincorporated, far out kind of place you can find. There's no reason for that except for what you see on TV, right? Where the winners come from, right?
Right. I mean, to my local convenience stores in South Shore, I've never seen like a big banner that says lottery winner here. You know, $630 million won at this store. Of course, that doesn't happen in my neighborhood.
You know, the store gets a cut of that for selling the ticket. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
If the store sells the winning ticket, they get a cut.
It's a large amount, too. I think if you sell the jackpot ticket, it's a massive amount of money to the store that sells it.
I like the idea, though, of unincorporated land. Like, I'd walk in there, and they're like, wait, what is he doing here? I want that, right? I want that in northern Illinois or eastern Illinois, where it's like, you went to Eastern, brother? Nope. Came here for the lottery ticket. See, it's far away from home, aren't you? Yes. One of these tickets, please, or $1,000 of tickets. I'm choosing the tickets. No. Bears, Cubs,
5 years. Hawks.
you know what? I think I'm going, depending if it's in a different area, I think I'm taking the tickets. If you're locking me in the city limits, I got to take one of the teams, like the Bears.
That's the thing, is like, because I asked
Don't
myself this question.
At that, JR.
I love that you think that your odds improved based on where you buy
it's
the tickets.
It's true. You know it's true. Don't be making
it's
fun.
It's a gut feeling is what that is. There's no factual evidence to that. Come on. You know that.
I'll do one Google search and I'll beat your ass with this Google search. That's what I'll do.
I asked JR this question this morning and he goes, I'm buying the Mega Millions tickets. There's no chance those teams win a title.
Not in 5 years.
There's no chance that you win Mega Millions.
Yeah, but at least I have
that's
a really
my
interest
question
for a night.
Really is there a better chance one of these three teams wins a title in the next 5 years or you win Mega Millions? Mega Millions, by the way, 1 in 302.5 million is your odds.
You didn't ask that question. You asked which you would spend the money on.
For me, that's what it comes down to. I'm going to spend my money on the thing I think I'm more likely to win.
Bears. Out of those teams. I can't win if I'm doing it. If you lock me in the city limits, I know I'll never win the tickets. I'll never win the Mega Millions.
If you're doing straight value, it's got to be Mega Millions. It's investment and return.
Put that on the poll at ESPN 1000. What would you rather do? 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number. A great night in Los Angeles for the All-Star Game. Some of the good and some of the question marks that happen around the All-Star Game. We'll talk about that. Alex Brown coming up at 9:35. We're back with some baseball conversation and your thoughts on this. Mega Millions tickets or putting a bet on the Bears, the Cubs, or the Hawks to win it all in 2 minutes.